If you would, turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. And finishing up with this message that started this morning. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12, the Scripture says, the Lord says to us, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And also in chapter 16, verse number 25, it says that exact same thing, and so it's reiterated unto us. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Talk about this morning about the attack that's on the institutions that the Lord has ordained, the institution of the family, the institution of government, the institution of the church. Talk about those things that are at hand, and not all things, but that are working against the family, but that of promiscuity that is there. And now we're into, in our society, in our nation, we're into a generation of parents that are, two or three generations down the road, and they don't know about what's right or wrong themselves, and so they have no expectation from their children. Maybe you've heard it before from some that you've been around that say, I've heard this in regards to folk parents that had done drugs and dope and stuff like that, or maybe they drank, used alcohol, liquor, and would get drunk and such as that, said, well, I did it. Who am I to say anything to my children about them not doing it? You know, and it's just destructive. We end up in a situation where Children, you know, what a terrible thing in societies. We've heard of children being rescued out of sewer drains. Now, how do we get to that point? Well, it's the idea is that men and women, they serve themselves and to the needs that they have, and they think about nothing else. And so if a child is born, then they're just in the way and they just have to be disposed of. You know, That is just so grievous to think about, just terrible. And as some of you have seen recently, no doubt, about how a couple little babies were rescued out of sewer drains. I think one in China and one somewhere else, where the mother delivered the child and then just looked to dispose of it. You know, I don't want to be hurtful to our children, but our children need to know that those things are there, that's wrong. And I apologize if that's just too much for me to bring out, but it's just terrible. That's what we've come to, and where those things are there, and it's just wicked, and it's just terrible. How did we get there? Well, the family has been worked on until we've got to this place. Those things are reserved for marriage. Mankind just pursues to satisfy themselves. Talk about abortion and when I talk about birth control, I'm talking about abortive birth control, a birth control that aborts that zygote, the result of the egg and the sperm coming together. You know, consider about that. You know, children are a heritage of the Lord. There was a day I didn't know about those things. Clarissa and I didn't know about those things, but when we learned about it, we were sorrowful about some of that we had done, and those things are in the Lord's hands. And when I have opportunity, I tell it to others, because those things are real. We've got to be careful about that. But we've sold out our children, and we don't look as children, as a society, as the reward of the womb and the reward from the Lord, the heritage that it is of the Lord. We talked about how there are the word escapes me. We've got Latinos that are at least have been known for continuing to have children and having families and such. The Muslims, they pursue having children to whatever extent that they can. And, you know, there's things that enter into there. Sometimes the medical health of the mother needs to be a consideration. Don't think that I wouldn't think about those things. But the design of the Lord is for us to be fruitful and multiply. And if we are not fruitful and multiply as a society, in our culture, as a nation, then what's going to happen? We're going to die. We're going to die. Brother Stephen, Brother Mark, we're talking about some things where they've done calculations where it needs to be that every woman needs to birth, 1.2 children for there just to be a holding of the population level in any nation. And so what happens is if that's not happening, then that race or that group of people that is involved with that, they're going to eliminate themselves. That's what's going to happen over time. They're going to eliminate themselves. And see, and that's just what the Lord said. He said that already. We've known that for thousands of years, but here it is. It's manifesting itself. And so, it's kind of ironic, isn't it, that man's wisdom and a secular and carnal idea about things, takes this thing and say, well, there's just too much population here, so we need to control this, or because of how they just want to please themselves and not deal with the outcome of that, namely children from intimacy between a man and a woman and the result of children from that. They say, well, we've got a better idea, but then it's what? It ends up in death, just like the verse said. A race of people is destroyed. Then we talk about divorce and what the Lord says there. And divorce is a terrible thing. And many of us in our families or connected in our families, different ones in our families have known of that. And maybe you have experienced that, or you know someone very close to you that has experienced that. The Lord knows that it needs to be, that the marriage needs to be a permanent thing. Go into it, planning on it, be until you die. Okay? And not all of us have the blessing of being taught that when we're young, but here now we are. We know it. So may we teach others. May we teach our children and grandchildren that it is that way. And then go on and for those that have had those effects, go on from there. I am told, from where you're at, I'm told that when divorce enters into a family, it becomes, there's an element there that just becomes easier then for the children and easier for the grandchildren because they've been exposed to it. It's seen as a way out, and there's that thing that where rather than passing on a godly heritage, we pass on things that are just continually damaging to our children. The whole thing about gender confusion, role reversal, all that, the family is messed up and under attack. Same-gender marriage, which is an abomination before the Lord, and then our attempt in our country, and by some, a noble effort to try to shore up the things of marriage and try to shore up in the government the abuse of programs and such as that that would be taken advantage by those that would be of the same gender and say that they have a marriage and all that. Those things come up, and the laws, it's a shame that we have to pursue a law, but then when we have it and then we turn it down, it's just like a double blow into us, that we thumb our nose in the face of God, that we're not going to abide by what you want. It was brought up, and then it's defeated within the government. And so who should be defending marriage? Well, we should. And every opportunity that we have, we should be defending marriage. Don't ever talk poorly about your spouse to anybody. You got a problem with it, take care of it at home. Sometimes we need counsel, and we need to seek godly counsel, but don't ever run down your spouse in front of somebody else. You're not defending your marriage if you do that, not even jokingly. And I know we can cut up and joke around. We've got to be very careful about that. We don't want to send the wrong message to our children and to our grandchildren. And so we need to cultivate our marriages, and we need to be defending our marriages. We need to be teaching our grandchildren and children that marriage is good and right, honorable before the Lord, of the Lord, and indeed is a blessing from the Lord. Are we perfect? No. Will there be problems? Yes. Will we have conflicts? Yes. And young people, as you consider someone to marry, if you're saved, I tell you what, and I understand about making a list and all that, and I was kind of chided one time for, recommending to young people having such a long, extensive list of things that were important to you to look see in a spouse. But just because they say they're saved, just because they say they're a Baptist, doesn't mean it's a go. You need to evaluate the heart of that person. Do they want to serve the Lord? Do you have an agreement about how you're going to raise your children and how you're going to serve the Lord and all those things? It's not like a 5-point list and that's it. And granted, there's going to be a need and a necessity to grow together in marriage. That's going to be. And love will grow if it's pursued right and according to the Lord. But make sure you know who you're marrying before you marry them, as much as you can. As much as you can. Then we left off about this section here about dealing with the government. We need to be subject to the government. The government is ordained by God. In the days that the Apostle Paul lived, he said that even to that wicked Roman, pagan, illicit government, to be subject to them as much as we could be. So let's take a look over here in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, and the government is under attack, and it is being attacked from within in our nation. I believe that. We have a representative republic, and we have a responsibility as citizens to be involved with that, and we need to be. But it's something how this chapter reads. Let's read this chapter, Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Sister Elsie was asking the last election, well, if Obama was to be our president, then why even vote? Because we've been given the privilege to vote. We need to go vote and vote according to what the Lord says and then leave the rest in His hands. To not vote, I believe, is sinful myself. And because we've been given the opportunity, we've been blessed with this kind of government, we are to be a part of it. And we should put forth the effort to do so. Our situation in our country is a blessing from God. Don't delegate it, relegate it, or pass it up, or give it up to somebody else. It's yours. You're a citizen. There's people, I know this is kind of rough, but there's people in this world that if they knew that they could kill you, drop you in a ditch, and take your place to be a citizen in this country, they'd do it without even thinking. They would do it without even thinking. There's people in this world that would do that. And I know that's hard, but it's the truth. Verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power of these ordained by God, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So it's serious. We've got to abide by the government. We do. As long as we can, and it doesn't contradict what the Lord's given us to do. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil, to the evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. He that is the minister of God to thee, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. The policeman is a minister of God. Isn't that what that says? Yeah, yeah. I know we call them cops, but you know that whole thing of cops and coppers, that started off derogatory. We might need to be careful about that. Okay, so they are ordained of God. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil, when it operates right. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Now, the Scripture's not talking about that which is corrupt, because honor is lost with corruption. And then if there is corruption, there's avenue that we can pursue to try to right the thing if we're falsely accused or abused. But then ultimately, we submit to the hand of the Lord, don't we? Yeah. So understand that there is a balance in things, and the Lord is over all. Do that which is good, thou shalt have praise of the same. Verse 4, for he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. And that's not talking about gun control. That's just the weapon at hand in the day. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, and not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. Yeah, pay the taxes. But go ahead and pay it. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. There being other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's what we're to do. We're to do. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It's time to be obedient now. Now, right now. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let's put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and in chambering and wantonness. There are some of those things that are attack on the family, aren't they? Not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So the government is ordained by God, and we need to be subject to her all that we can be until it contradicts the Word of God. But it's sad to say that we've come to a point that our leadership only defends and enforces the laws that they want. And so our government is being attacked from within. And we need to use, you know, I'm not telling you how to vote. You need to vote what the Lord Jesus would vote. But we need to be involved with our government. And there were some disappointing votes here recently. And we need to let them know, let those fellows know that we're disappointed in the way they voted. Because they're supposed to be representing us. And I don't want our country given away. Amen? I mean, we don't want our country. Well, how is that right? It's not. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 34. Proverbs 14, 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation. If we will be obedient to God, it will bring us up. It'll help us. It'll exalt us. There was a day when our nation was exalted, was respected, was wealthy, did have influence. But sin is a reproach or a wicked thing to any people. And so it's sad to say our government is breaking down. We don't have politicians. We have politicians rather than statesmen. And then the average Joe citizen in the country won't be involved. We need to be involved. And it's easy to communicate now with email and such as that. Communicate. At least let them know. Let them know what you expect and pray for our leaders. You know, I pray, and we need to pray that the Lord will save our leaders. Because the Lord gets a hold of them and saves them, that'll change things. Their hearts will be changed. Their working will be changed. But see, now we've come to a point that those that are in the leadership, many that are in the leadership, are not honest, are they? You know, they take an oath. They take an oath to uphold the law of the land. It's not whether they agree with it or disagree with it, but we've got a situation, as evidenced this past week, or brought to light more this past week, and the things that came before the Supreme Court, that if they don't like it, they just don't do anything with it, even though it's the law of the land, even though they took an oath to do that. They're not honest. They have lied. And may God help us, and may God help our children. And so the government, these things with the family, all these things we've mentioned with the family and other things that haven't even been mentioned, what do? They get in, they affect people, they work in people. There's no respect for the institution of the home or the family. People just live to themselves. And so stands to reason, if they get in government, they get in business, they get out in the world, what are they going to do? Same things they do with the family, right? Same thing. They're going to be the same kind of things. They're going to be promiscuous. They're not going to care about life. They're not going to care about any thing that's righteous or has any sanctity about it, right? They're going to get the roles of men and women reversed and not understand about the family. We've got people that don't even understand about the family, trying to help the family in social services and stuff. It just works and works and works to a terrible end. And then all this attack on society, the family, and government, from within and from without, it comes right into the church. Because it's us. And we're affected by it. 1 John chapter 4. May God help us. So, well, we can be helped, okay? And I tell you what, it's a blessing to be a member of one of the Lord's churches, having been saved by the Lord. You know, we've got respite from the world when we come together and meet together to worship. You know, I pray the Lord help us to get a hold of that. And we're not many. We're not many. But I tell you what, we do have the Lord and we have each other. And it's a blessing. As we've said before, you know, certainly we can count on each other, can't we? Can't we count on one another? If we have a need, we need some help. If we're sorrowful and we're weeping, or if we're happy and we're laughing, can we count on one another to be there? Yes, and that's a blessing from God. You know, we can't get that necessarily from the world. But the Lord's blessed us with it here, and we can meet together to worship the Lord and being of like mind and being one mind and one heart directed toward the Lord. We can worship Him and praise Him together, and that's a blessing. That's an encouragement to one another. The Lord's designed things well. He knew about it. The Lord made the nation of Israel and gave her the law that He gave her and the service that He gave her and everything. And she was going to be distinct and separate, but she had the Lord and they had one another. Right? Didn't the nation of Israel stand out from any other nation in the world? Amen. And the Lord made that and knew that and made that to where they could be there. The Lord's done the same thing for us. Us Gentiles have done the same thing in the church. And I tell you what, I just hate to think about going out and living in the world and just by myself, me and my family. I hate to think about that. How would that be? It'd be terrible. You are a part of my life, mine and my family's life, mine and my wife, my children's life. And you being a part of our life and we being a part of your life, that's a blessing from God. And we need to value that. And we need to do what's right and be obedient to the Lord. This attack is upon the pillar and ground of the truth. Doesn't Satan know what he's doing? Bust the family? Mess up the government? And what will it do to the churches? It'll put the heat and the pressure and the rot on them, won't it? Indeed it will. And that's what he's after, isn't it? Ultimately, it's the pillar and ground of the truth. You pull the pillar of truth down, you pull that support and prop of the truth down. You take that and make it to where church members, folks that claim to be the Lord's people, are sinning just as much as anybody in the community, and letting their children go wild and do things that they ought not to be doing, and such as that. And like I mentioned before, we got parents that allow their children to drink and do dope and be promiscuous and all that right in their own house. Well, man, if the church is filled up with a bunch of hypocrites, what's the world want? They've already got it, don't they? They say, but we're free to go fishing on Sunday. We're not bound up with that, you know, going there and being all pious and righteous to hear that man yell at us for an hour or two. They just go load up and go camping or do whatever, because they're no better than I am. Satan knows what he's doing, doesn't he? May God help us that we would see this. You know what? The Apostle Paul... Now, we're in 1 John 4, but in the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, listen, I'm just going to make this reference. You can write that down. You can look at it. But he said, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. But you know what? We are. Amen? We sure are. We are as a nation, and we can be as his people and his church. Because that junk just slips right in. Don't even know it slipped in. And it's done slipped in. It affects our conversation, our language, our thinking, our hearts, our decision making. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. There's spirits blowing around. Isn't that what the Lord said a spirit does? He's like the wind. And it's not the wind. But there's spirits blowing around, isn't there? The spirit of abortion. The spirit of socialist government. The spirit of same gender relationships and stuff, sodomy, lesbianism, putting that union between two of the same gender on par with marriage, that's a spirit that's blowing around. And people are sucking it right up, aren't they? May God help us. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Make some judgments. Get the Word of God out and see what the Lord says about it. Say, that's wrong. God hates that. God doesn't want that. That's wrong. That's not what God says. Know the verses. Don't know the verses, we're not going to be able to help out our posterity, are we? Not going to be able to help out our children. Not going to be able to help out our grandchildren if we don't know what the Word of God says. Amen? And so may the Lord help us in that. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world, and what those false prophets are doing is they're spewing those spirits out. I told you here not too long ago, it was sickening there on the house or the floor, one of the houses in the Illinois Congress, legislature, when they were unable to bring up their same gender marriage thing in their last session. Their session closed and they weren't able to get it done. They didn't have enough votes to get it through one of the houses, I believe, there on the state level. And the man and some women there that were lesbian and sodomized, how they boo-hooed and they cried over their sadness that was not able to be brought up. Now, I don't hate those people, but I hate their way because God hates their way. They need to be saved. Yeah. And if they're going to pursue that stuff around my children and around your children, our families, I don't want them around. But they need to be saved, and I don't hate them. They are our enemy, though. They are an enemy. They're an enemy of the Lord, and the Lord says that it's damnable what they pursue. But see, they've taken it, and it's just like they were boo-hooing just like you and I would boo-hoo over some of our family being sick or some valiant thing that would be lost or some struggle would be there. That's so they were boo-hooing just like we would over maybe somebody dying, and they were weeping over that like it was a great thing that they had been disappointed in and experienced. They were weeping and crying, just like you and I would cry over the loss of one of our relatives. That is inordinate, wicked, and upside down, isn't it? It is. It is. Try those spirits. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 3, we pick it up here. If any man teach otherwise, there's been some instruction that the Apostle Paul has given Brother Timothy about how to pastor the Lord's people, the Lord's church. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, you reject the Word of God, it's going to cause problems. And see, that's where all this roots in. That's a genesis of all this stuff, all this attack, all this thwarting of the institutions that the Lord's ordained. It all boils down to one thing. And Paul is telling Timothy about it here. He said, if you don't consent, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, the words of the Lord, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, here's what their state is. We saw some of this earlier. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words. Whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Denying what the Word of God says, the wholesome Word of God, that which is according to godliness, it'll lead in divorce, inordinate affection towards children, and inordinate affection and care towards the elderly. It just keeps on going and going and going and going and going, doesn't it? That same gender marriage mess, they say. And like we saw where there's contention and strife and all that, the Scripture says there's every evil work. In James 3:16, where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. All this comes towards the church. Why are these things so? Paul's hinted at it here, but 2 Peter really bears it out. Let's take a look over here. We're talking a little bit just for services, how it is that may God help us, we not find ourselves in a place that we justify our sin. Or heaven help us that we not blame our sin upon the Lord. Well, the Lord's just leading me to. Well, don't you know what the Scripture says about it? Yeah, I know what it says, but look out. Look out. We don't have any trump on what the Lord says in His Word, do we? There's no trump that we have to that. We don't up that one by any divine revelation that we have. We don't. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 16, Peter talking about the Apostle Paul and the writings that he has, also in all his epistles, of Paul's epistles, Peter speaking of him, and also all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, the things that he's been dealing with here, about the judgment to come in particular, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, twisting against the Scriptures. Twisting against what the Word of God says. One man, one woman. Yeah, but that's that translation. We need to get a better translation. Because after all, we understand language better than anybody else has ever has before. Isn't that the thinking of the modern, of the present generation? It's there. It's there. Hard understood. They that are unlearned and unstable, they don't know what the Word of God says. They don't want to know what the Word of God says. Peter's already talked to them about them in verse number 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of. We've got willful ignorance today. Don't tell me I don't want to know that. Then I won't be responsible for it. Wrong. Wrong. What God says, you and I are responsible for. Unlearned and unstable rest or twist, as they do also the other Scriptures. That's what they're resting against, is the Word of God. What's been written by the prophets? What's been written by the apostles? What's been written by those other brethren that the Lord's church, in the days when the Word of God in the New Testament, as we refer to it, was being written, and that the churches of God sanctioned it and said, yes, this is an epistle to be read and written and held to in the Lord's churches. They rest against them. They don't want to learn them. They are unstable and twisting against them. And you know what? When that happens, what's going to happen? Unto their own destruction. If Jim Duke bucks up against the Word of God and what God says in His Word, it will destroy me, and it may destroy a few generations of mine after me. We need to believe what the Lord says, don't we? May God help us that we would. Own destruction, you know, and we maybe even know some that have done so recently. They try to take the Word of God and twist it and bend it and conform it to what they want, and it doesn't say that at all. What is the answer? What is the answer for help? Well, it's the same answer that's always been. Isaiah 46, got a handful of scriptures here that we'll take a look at. Isaiah 46, Old Testament scriptures, the Lord dealing with His nation, but the principle at hand is here. In verse number 12 of Isaiah 46, the Scripture says, "Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, hard-headed, stiff-necked people." The Lord knows who we are, doesn't He? "Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, and that are far from righteousness." What's the answer? What's the answer for help? It's the same thing it's always been. Listen to what the Lord says. Hearken unto it. Not only hear it, but obey Him in it and do it. Obey Him in it and do it. "Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness." How's He done that? With the Word of God? With His churches? With His people? That's how He's done it in our day. "I bring near my righteousness, it shall not be far off. And my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory." He will do that one day. Because everything He's ever said, everything He's ever promised, so far has always come to pass, hasn't it? And He will do it. Jeremiah chapter 26. Jeremiah chapter 26. Here, speaking here again to the nation of Israel, but there's a principle at hand that we can glean from this. In Jeremiah chapter 26, verse number 3, if so be they will hearken. Jeremiah 26, 3, and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. Repentance. It's always been the answer, hadn't it? The universal thing that repentance and submission to the Lord is the place of blessing. For the salvation of the soul, and for the blessing of a nation, for the blessing of a family, for the blessing of the Lord's people in His church, hearkening to the Lord, hearing Him and believing Him. In Zechariah chapter 1, is there hope for us that's kind of caught in the strait of this thing? You know, we've got the result at hand of the disobedience of some generations before us. We've got our own responsibility. But is there hope presently? Indeed, there is. In Zechariah chapter 1, verse number 2, the Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Well, we can say that's the truth, isn't it? Therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, saying that Lord of hosts over and over again. See, because we need to understand the citizens of our country. We do in our families and in our church. We need to understand who we're dealing with. You know, our Lord has got armies galore. But His power is so great, He never has to use them. Now, I know the angels are ministering spirits. And if the Lord waged war upon the earth, it'd be over with and about like that. But He's the greatest conqueror and greatest king, greatest general, greatest commander that's ever been. The Lord of hosts. He's got armies on top of armies. But He doesn't have to use them. All He's got to do is speak. All He's got to do is will for a thing. We need to understand who we're dealing with. And we need to tell others, the Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore say unto those fathers, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. And they did not hear. Don't be like them, nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? It killed them. They're dying or are dead. And the prophets, do they live forever? No. But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? It came to pass, didn't it, as the Lord said. And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath He dealt with us. If the Lord says adulterers and whoremongers, God will judge, He's going to do it. If the Lord said that sodomy and lesbianism is evil and wicked before Him and He's going to judge it, He's going to do it. A nation that goes away from the Lord can expect the blessing of the Lord removed from them and confusion, and He does it. And we've got this madness. We've got this social pursuit by our leadership and by the politicians and the leadership that we have at hand and maybe even a great cut of society. And all that pursuit is, what's it going to do? It's just going to drag us down and kill us. All because of envy and covetousness and not obeying the word of the Lord and working and obeying and serving the Lord. But then you know it. I alluded to it this morning. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, this promise stands true until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Is there hope? Is there help? Oh, yes, there is. to hearken unto the Lord. And here it says, this is coming right down here to you and me, brother and sister. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people, is that you? Is that you? Does it not start with if? Will we or won't we? If my people, which are called by my name, do you like being known by the Lord's name? Are you a child of God? Do you claim it? Are you happy to declare it, or are you bashful about it? Are you thankful that the Lord saved you and you tell others about His saving grace upon you, or do you back away and shy from that? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray to know that we are dependent upon the Lord, that we will seek His face to work in us and work in our the situations and circumstances at hand, that the impossible thing of turning our state and turning our county, turning our nation, turning our family, the impossible thing that may seem to be to us, if we'll seek the Lord's face in that, if we'll seek the Lord's face in righting the things that are wrong in our life, and from this point forward going on to do what He says and to serve Him well, shall humble themselves and are in need of God and pray and seek my face. You want to see the Lord? Job thought he had a good part of the Lord, didn't he? He said, I've heard you with my ear, but now I see you with my eye. To see the Lord by face, to see the Lord's glory, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, not be a hypocrite ourselves, not sin before the Lord ourselves in a secret sin or that thing that we justify or think that's okay. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. There's a way that seems right unto man, and it's killing us, and it has killed us, and it will kill us. But the blessing of the Word of the Lord, and hearing and believing, hearkening unto Him, is indeed the blessing of life. May God help us. May the Lord help us as His people. May we not be discouraged in these difficult, wicked, sinful times. But may we intercede for those around us. May we intercede. May we supplicate for our nation, for our leadership. May we supplicate to the Lord, pray to the Lord one for another. May we take sin and put it out of our lives and put it out of our homes. May the Lord help us in our church so we might stand for Him till Jesus comes. May the Lord help us. We will not seek our own way, the way that leads to death, but we'll seek the way of the Lord and pursue that.